World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Okay, Spencer, I'm sorry for those of you who aren't able to see the screen. Maybe you're watching by my phone. It was a video. Today's Veterans Day. Today's Veterans Day. You'd have to look far and wide to know that, though, wouldn't you, friends? See, we don't honor honorable people anymore. We honor causes. And the truth of the matter is, it wouldn't be any of us standing here today were not for the sacrifices of those who came before us.
Amen.
Pick your war, doesn't matter what the war was. And we can all tell stories of the great one, the war to end all wars, and WW2 and Vietnam and Korea. And we can run down the list of even those fake wars we've been fighting over in the Middle East. The reality of it is there are a lot of people who laid down their lives. And we don't honor America today. And I remember as a young kid, I suppose it was just because my parents had just come out of World War II. I was born in 1952. World War II ended in 1945. It's very fresh on everybody's minds. We used to have parades all the time. Every little town had a Veterans Day parade. You guys remember that, don't you? Is it just me? Remember that? We used to have a Veterans Day parade because we appreciated the sacrifices. We don't do that anymore. It's a national holiday. We don't even honor it anymore. But that's not even what I really want to talk about today. In a funny sort of way, I fell asleep last night. I don't know why I had to tell you guys my sleeping patterns, other than I think it's critical that you understand. I was sound asleep at 8:30 last night. And I guess I've just kind of settled in my own heart. I'm an 8 o'clock at night till 4 o'clock in the morning guy. I was up at 4. The Lord woke me up at 4. Wide awake at 4. Not troubled, just wide awake at 4. And so it's, what time is it? I've been up 3 hours. And I've had an awesome time this morning. Just doing some things that I needed to get done. And I thought about today being Veterans Day. It was also, by the way, Mayflower Compact was signed this day. Pretty significant, isn't it? pretty significant. And wasn't it a year ago today? Somebody help me out there. Where were we a year ago today, Randy? Anybody out there remember? Where were we a year ago today?
Georgia Guidestones.
Georgia Guidestones a year ago today. See, those who forget the past are condemned to repeat it. Remember, we know all that, don't we? Right? We know all that. I want to show you a couple things. I got to do this real quick, and then I'm going to do something I've never done. We're going to do it here, though. Hey, Spencer, real quick. I just got to. Don't forget Mount Vernon this Sunday. What time is it, Jeff? 2 o'clock. If you're in the Central Ohio area, try to get to Mount Vernon at 2 o'clock this Sunday for there it is, Freedom Rally. We will not bow rally in Mount Vernon, Ohio. Try to come be with it 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock. Maybe we can all get together and have a sandwich or something after it. But anybody can get it up there, we'd love to see it. I want to make sure that you're aware of that. But I want to show you this. Spencer, go to the email. It says Graham screenshot. I think I sent it to you. I should have given you a little bit more warning on it. Folks, look at this. Franklin Graham, October 21st. Just a suggestion to Facebook and Twitter. Instead of censoring and trying to determine what's true and false, why don't you just let people debate the points on these public forums? I'm fully vaccinated with a booster. And I'm glad I took it. There you are. There it is. Now, is he going to come out and tell us the truth? Is he going to come out and tell us the truth? I don't think so. I get a kind of a heavy spirit as well. I want you to see something else here. I don't know if you guys saw this. Spencer, go down to where it says Rittenhouse. Have you guys been following what they're doing to that young man? He was a 17-year-old boy. A 17-year-old boy being thrown to the wolves, right? Do you guys forget what 17-year-old kids are like? Do you guys forget what they're like, 17-year-old kids? What a responsible, remarkable young man this guy is and what they're doing to him. And then I watch on Facebook and YouTube, they're making fun of him. They say he's acting. Folks, what would you do if you were 17 years old and you had somebody's, you were in a place where there were gunshots going off and you're laying on the ground and one guy's hitting you from one direction with a skateboard and another guy's coming up at you with another direction with a gun and people are chasing you down. You're 17 years old. People say, well, he shouldn't have been there. Well, he was. He had a right to be there. He was there. He had a right to be there. And we know that this case shouldn't even come to trial because it was clearly self-defense. We know this. Now, I want you to show this. Imagine this. Have you guys ever been in a situation like that when you're in the middle of a mob and you don't know if you're going to get out of there? This guy's running for all he's worth to the police to get help. And on the way to the police, he's getting hit with a skateboard. 3 times got hit with a skateboard, got him pinned down on the ground. Some guy runs at him with a gun extended. And the freaking prosecutor says, well, didn't you intend to shoot him? Well, hell, the guy's going to shoot him. He doesn't have a gun. He's dead. I want you to watch this 2-minute segment of this young guy. And people have the balls, pardon me, to go on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and say he's faking it. What a wicked, wicked country we live in. What a wicked, wicked court system we have. What a wicked prosecutor this guy is.
Amen.
I don't know if you've seen this or not, friends.
Amen.
Because I'm going to tell you something. Hey, folks, if you think this, I'm going to say it, okay? If you think that this had been reversed and it had been a black guy laying on the ground defending himself against white guys, do you think that we'd have this same narrative right now? Do you think we would, huh? And I'm trying to tell you over and over and over, nobody wants to hear this. This is an attack on the white, heterosexual, Christian male. Sorry if you can't see it. Not even going to try to explain it to you anymore. That's exactly what we see here. A 17-year-old boy taking first aid, working to be a police officer, runs up there. They all say he went up there to kill people. Give me a... Anyway, 2 minutes and 10 seconds. I don't know if I'll be able to watch the whole thing. It's freaking
Duramax and... as I'm stepping forward, I believe his name is now Joshua Zeminski. He steps towards me with a pistol in his hand, and As I'm walking towards to put out the fire, I drop the fire extinguisher and I take a step back.
Okay. When you step back from Mr. Zeminski, what's your plan?
My plan is to get out of that situation and go back north down Sheridan Road to where the car source lot number 2 was.
And did you get back? Were you able to go in a northerly direction?
He's in the middle of a freaking mob!
Right, what happens?
Once I take that step back, I look over my shoulder and Mr. Rosenbaum was now running from my right side, and I was cornered from in front of me with
cornered
Mr. Zeminski, and there were there were 3 people right there.
Folks, can you imagine the guilt that this young guy has dealt with over having shot 3 people? Can you even imagine it? Can you imagine what's down inside this guy's heart? Can you even imagine it? Does anybody think that he wanted to kill these people? What the hell's going on? 17 years old. People said, well, he shouldn't have been there. Well, okay, we can argue that. But to make him out to be some premeditated mass murderer, they're coming at him, folks. A mob is chasing him down the street. He trips and he falls. They hit him with a skateboard 3 times. A guy shows up, points a gun at him. I had to get that out there. Hang on, I don't want anybody to come in here yet. I'm not going to let anybody come in here yet. We don't even recognize honor anymore. We don't even recognize honor within our own ranks. We don't even recognize it anymore. We wouldn't know what it was if somebody hit us in the mouth with honor. Honor's laughed at. Now, here's what I've never done this. I'm going to do this. Spencer, pull up for me if you could. I know I gave it to you. Someone tell me I did. Yeah, Hebrews down at the bottom. On Memorial Day, I honor all those of you who fought. I honor and remember all those of you who died, lost loved ones, lives destroyed from PTSD. I honor all that. I do. Duty, honor. We talked about that the other day. But you know what we've forgotten to do, friends, here on Memorial Day? We don't honor those biblical heroes that came before us. We don't honor them.
Amen.
We spit on their graves. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I said, I'm going to read Hebrews 11 today because it's about the Faith Hall of Fame. And I said, Lord, I can't do that because it's out of context. And I want to give you an exercise that some of you can do at home. I do it a lot. I did it this morning. Read the chapter backwards. Say, what do you mean? Well, read chapter 12 before you read chapter 11. And you have to read chapter 12, go back and read chapter 11. And then after you read chapter 11, go back and read chapter 10. Instead of reading forward, reading backwards. And when you read backwards, you're going to find out that you don't have all the information when you read chapter 12. Because why? The information was given to you in chapter 11. And when you read chapter 12 without reading chapter 11, you won't be able to put the picture together. But if you read it backwards, chapter 12, then I'll read chapter 11. Now chapter 12 makes sense. And then you read chapter 11, you say, okay, that's good. But it doesn't make sense because you haven't read chapter 10. Are you picking up what I'm saying? That's taking the scriptures out of context. We do it all the time. So this morning I'm going to read to you. You can go someplace else if you want to. I'll shut up and we'll get to it here in a second. I'm going to read to you three consecutive chapters of Hebrews 10. Hebrews, beginning of chapter 10. Knowing that the Hebrews 11 is the Faith Hall of Fame. It is the memorial. It is the Veterans Day of the Bible. Hebrews 11 is the Veterans Day of the Bible. All right? So I should read the whole thing, which is what we should do. But I'm going to start here at verse 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereto perfect. He's talking about sacrificing goats and bulls. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins if they'd been forgiven. But in those sacrifices, there's a remembrance again made of sins every year. See, the remembrance of what we've come through is very, very important, right? For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore we've come into the world, he saith, sacrifice, offering, that wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin that has had no pleasure. He says the bulls and the goats, that I got no pleasure in that. And said, I come to do the will of God, Jesus says. Above, when he said sacrifice and burn an offering and burn offerings, an offering for the sin that wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Took away the first law to establish the new covenant. Right? By the which we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. No more goats, bulls, pigs, none of that. No more of those kind of sacrifices anymore. And every priest stand daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Religious ritual over and over and over and over is what he's talking about, I think. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And when he did it, he's going to stay there till his enemies be made his footstool. Folks, there's a marker. Have his enemies been made his footstool yet? For by offering one offering, he's perfected forever them that are sanctified. Are you sanctified? Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that, he had said before, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So he's going to put his law, and he's going to write it in our hearts and in our minds. And he says, once that happens, I'm not going to remember your sins anymore. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. This is it. It's done. It's not good works. Not any of that. It's done. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Why can we go in there? Because he sanctified us. By a new living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. His flesh was the veil. And having Amen. A high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies purified with washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. What are we supposed to do? Consider one another and provoke them unto love and to good works. Not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much more that as you see the day approaching. Anybody see the day approaching?
Amen.
What are we supposed to be doing? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. No, no, no. For if we sin, listen, if we sin willfully, after we've received the knowledge of truth, there is no more sacrifice of sin. That's it. If you sin willfully and you think you're covered by the blood, brother, if you're not repenting of that sin, you ain't covered. That's what it says.
Praise the Lord.
But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. You know why the adversaries aren't being devoured? Because we're not walking in truth. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Oh, how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Do you guys get what he's saying here? He says, you guys, you think you're going to tromp all over this sacrifice? And you're going to allow people all around you to tromp all over this sacrifice? And you think that's going to be cool by me?
Tell it, coach. Tell it.
I am. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth to me. I will. Hey, you know why he's saying that? He said, I'm going to take care of this, boys. I got some wrath built up, and I'm giving you guys a chance to make it right. But I'm telling you, I'm coming with hellfire and brimstone. And the Lord said it again. The Lord shall judge all people.
Bam.
His people.
Preach it.
I am. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know, run and sit on his lap and open your eyes and want to see him. The call to remembrance, the former days in which after your eyes were opened. Has anybody endured affliction after your eyes were open?
Amen.
When you do, you're going to endure a great fight of afflictions, boys. Partially while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. In other words, everybody was looking at you and pointing at you and calling you names. And partially while you became companions of them that were so used. You not only let it happen to your friends, you joined with them to do it. But you had compassion of me in my bonds. You took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Hey, I got a better and enduring substance than anything this world has to offer. Amen. I can tell you that.
Amen.
Cast not away, therefore, Amen. Your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God. After you've done the will of God. Not prayed about it. After you've done the will of God, you're going to receive a promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he won't tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draws back, if any man doesn't have faith, I'm not with him. I don't have any pleasure in him. And he said, but we're not those who draw back. That's not us, boys. That's not us. We're not those aren't the guys. But we are those who believe to the saving of the soul, which then leads, not a new chapter, the next paragraph, he's now going to talk about all of those who did what he just said. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that you can't see. It was by faith that the elders obtained a good report. What elders? The ones he just told us about. They obtained a good report. That through faith, We understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen weren't made of things which do not appear. God made everything. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he, being dead, yet spoke.
Right on, right on.
Oh, this is so deep. But faith, by faith, Enoch, when it was translated, by the way, Abel's blood cries from the ground, doesn't it? Being dead, he still speaks.
Amen.
By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. By the way, this is the same guy who wrote the book of Enoch. Right? Same guy who wrote the book of Enoch that we now say is the lie. By faith, Enoch was translated so that he should not see death. He was not found, but God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Because you see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Wow.
Amen.
For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Not only that he is, but that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. By faith. By the way, these are all people who were ridiculed publicly for what they did. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, said, okay, moved with fear of God. It says moved with fear. He's moved with fear of God. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. And he became the heir of righteousness, which came to Noah by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place, he didn't want to leave his house. He didn't want to leave everything he had. And God said, hey, Abraham, get out there, man. We need you to go out there. And Abraham went out to a place that where he would receive an inheritance. He didn't know what he was going to get, but he obeyed. He said, I'm leaving everything. I'll go out there. Okay, Lord. And he went out, knowing where he's going. That's faith. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. Where did he go? He went to the land of promise. He left where he was and went to the land of promise. I lost my place. Sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Folks, we have the same promise.
Amen.
For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's a kingdom, folks. He's looking for an invisible kingdom, which came, by the way. Through faith also, Sarah receives strength to conceive seed. He's delivered her child when she's past age because she judged him faithful. Who'd promised him? Wow. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky. We are all children of Abraham and Sarah. All of us. All of us! Sin, which is by the seashore, innumerable. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Some of them came out of Hagar, and they became. We know who they became, right? They became the Muslim people. These all died in faith. Who did? The ones we just, every one of these people up here, they all died. Not having received the promise. God made a promise and they died without seeing it. But having seen them afar off, they saw the promises far off, and they were persuaded of the promises, and they embraced the promises, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such thing declare plainly that they seek another kingdom, not country. Anybody picking this up in me? This is so deep in me. And truly, man, if they had been mindful of that kingdom from which they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. But now they desire better. Can I say kingdom? Am I changing the world? They're not looking for a country. They're looking for a kingdom that is a heavenly one. God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city in the kingdom. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. His son was the promise. Of whom it was said that in Isaac, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He asked Abraham to sacrifice his only hope in life. His son was his promise. Accounting that God was able to raise him up. He said, I'm going to kill him. Because, Lord, I know you can raise him up. Even from the dead. From whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob. By faith. See, faith is not seeing what you're believing for. Or not in the natural. By faith, you keep going because, you know, at the end of this road, I don't know if I told you this story. It's important. I was out splitting wood the other day at Sky High and had my little grandson with me, David. And you can walk, when you're at Sky High, our house is next door, but there's a woods there. And David's house is at the top of the hill. And and we're over at Sky High and we're splitting wood and David had to go home or whatever. And I said, David, here. So I walked and said, David, just go right over and just walk down the path. And you just go right down the path and then it'll take you over to Grampy's house. And David took about three steps and he turned around at me. He says, Grampy, I'm scared. I said, you scared? He said, yeah, I'm scared. I said, David, listen, I'm going to stand right here. And I want you to walk right down that path. And when you get down the bottom of the hill, you can't see, but when you get down the bottom of the hill, David, the path's going to go to the left. And when you get to the top of that hill, you look to the left and you'll see Grampy's house. And I'll stay right here. So I stayed there. Folks, this is where we live. This is our own property right where we live. And my grandson doesn't even know that he can walk from his house to Sky High. He doesn't even know it. So I stand there and I watch him. He goes up the hill and does exactly what I says, and he turns left. And all of a sudden, he turns back where he can see me, and he gives me a thumbs up.
Open it up.
Praise God.
Because he sees. He sees my red house. And he trusted me to go do it. He stood there and he looked back and he said,
that's beautiful.
It's real. He didn't know the house was there. He just believed me that I told him that it was. And he knew when he got to my house, he could get to his. When he got to his house, he could get to his. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worship, leading them up on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They didn't send him to public schools. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction than to be called part of the government. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of his reward. By faith he forsook Egypt and all the worldly stuff, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essayed to do were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down as they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot, Rahab, perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what more can I say? for time then fails to give me the time to talk about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the Luciferians. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting that they were tortured because they wouldn't bow. But they might obtain, this is Memorial Day, this is Veterans Day, friends. They might obtain a better resurrection than others. By the way, anybody know any of these people? These nameless people? And others had trial, cruel mockings and scourgings. Yeah. Moreover, of bonds. They were thrown in prison. They were stoned, sewn in half. They were tempted, slain with the sword. Veterans Day. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They were better than the world. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Why? Because God had a better plan, saying, hey, it's all going to work out in the end, because they're waiting for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. They're counting on us. So, wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a kind of witnesses, who are those witnesses? We just read who they were. See, if we don't read this in context, we're going to say, well, we're compassed about with so great a kind of witness, we think it's angels. If people tell us it's angels that are surrounding us. No, these are the witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. And let us run with that same patience, that same race that's set before us. We look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down to right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds, unless you think you're catching all kinds of crap. Because you have not resisted yet unto blood. You haven't. I haven't. Striving against sin. And you've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto us as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of them. Some of you are being chastened and rebuked of the Lord. You're causing it in your own life. For whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth. He scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if you endure the chastening, God will deal with you as he would with sons. For what son is he who the daddy doesn't spank every now and then? But if you be without the spankings, wherefore all are partakers, then are you bastards. You ain't sons.
Ouch.
Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather being subjected unto the Father of spirits live? Wow. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But God does it for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And no chastening for the present seems to be much fun. In fact, it's grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Therefore, my friends, lift up your hands which hang down on your feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, with holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator, profane person, like Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright, for one jab of the vaccination. For you know how that after when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For you've come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor into blackness, and darkness, and tempests. And the sound of the trumpet, and the voice of the words, which the voice they that heard entreated that the words should not be spoken to them anymore. Don't tell us that anymore. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But boys and girls, you've come unto Mount Zion. We've now come into the city of a living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, we are written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, the mediator, the go-between, and to the blood of the sprinkling that speaketh better things than that stinking old blood of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For they escape not who refused him that spake on earth. Oh, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh to us from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I'm going to shake the earth. But not only the earth, but heaven. Boy, are we in the middle of that. And this word yet once more signify the removing of these things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. I ain't bending, and I ain't bowing, and I ain't taking no jab. Wherefore, we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire.
Right on.
Veterans Day. It's Veterans Day at Coach Dave Live. Veterans Day. Come on in, Reggie.
Good morning, Coach. Kyle Rittenhouse is exactly where he needed to be. He was doing what most men talk about doing. He didn't That's take exactly. a band of brothers. And he stood there as a 17-year-old boy in the face of opposition, evil, yep. evil opposition. That's and him. This is why a lot of survivors sit around and cry and get angry and scream. And Dennis has heard me and T many times screaming and yelling because we have no men to stand up for the children, for the people that are suffering. And Kyle, that boy, he is a saint. He is exactly where he needed to be. And they're going to make an example of him, or they're going to try to. And it is every single one of us American Christians' Amen. Opportunity or obligation to stand for that young man
Amen.
And
Amen,
join Reggie. Him.
Amen. Amen, Reggie. I'm with you. Clay, come on in. And Paul.
I think many of us have served the wrong master for too many years, Coach.
Yep.
We got to ask ourselves, what do we want written on our tombstone? Do we want he lived a comfortable life, or do we want by faith he served accordingly? I think if we ever want to see the kingdom of heaven, we're going to have to live by faith instead of fear.
Amen, Clay. Amen, hang right there a second. Michelle, can you unmute? Are you able to unmute? I don't know if she can. I can hear her up there. I know she's listening to the show. She's on a little bit of a delay. Because I want to make a point about tombstones. See, folks, We've betrayed all these guys. This Faith Hall of Fame, we've betrayed all these guys. You understand that? We've betrayed them all. I'm not talking about America. We've betrayed our Christian brothers who laid down their lives. Michelle, did you come in? She didn't. I was going to have her witness what I told her to put on my gravestone. I think I've told you this before. Here lies a dangerous man. That's what I want on my gravestone. Dangerous to the devil. Dangerous to complacency. Dangerous to compromise. Here lies a dangerous man. Paul, come on in.
You know, one of the lines in that, I think it's chapter 11, talks about God chastens who he loves.
Yes.
You know, kind of reminds me of an employer I used to work for said that if I don't say anything to you about your job, about what you're doing, then that lets you know that you're doing a good job and I believe in you. If I don't say anything, then be concerned. And so as a Christian, you know, God chastens those that he loves. And if he's not saying anything to you, then you need to be really concerned.
Some of you got some crap you got to get out of your life. Come on in, Joe.
Coach, look at verse 28 there. And we're talking about Kyle and what he faced. He's old enough to be in the service to fight for our country, mm-hmm. but he stand up. This is a product of government letdown for keeping fear in the people and stopping the police to do what they did. No man, just like Reggie said, no man stood up in there. No man. There were children out there standing up for this country.
Yep, that's right. Children out there. We ought to all be ashamed. Betty and Jeff.
Good morning. I was wondering, and it's just a thought, if we could have an event up there for one day and maybe stand outside that courthouse.
It would be good, Betty. Here's the problem. I don't know how much longer the trial is going to go on. In fact, folks, I don't know if you know this or not. The defense is fighting for a mistrial. They are doing things that will cause a mistrial because they know they've blown this case. And if you get a mistrial, then they want to come back and be able to try him again. That's what it's at work here. And if the judge, he seems to be a pretty straight shooter. If he does declare a mistrial, I pray he declares one with prejudice. No, without prejudice, meaning you can't bring it back up. It's done. It's over. That ought to be our prayer. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, that was good this morning. Look, thanks. To me, I'm sitting here thinking, you know what? Sunday, we got this. We will not bow rally. You'll be in rare form by the time Sunday rolls around here. That was good this morning.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. I'm in rare form now. No, it's not rare form. I'm like this a lot. K-Key, come on in, then Roger.
Yeah, first time I saw that young man breaking down like that, I thought about the misguided guilt and what he may have endured already being incarcerated and how we're treating him on the inside. If this was any other generation, he might have been signing up for the military to go over the pond.
Davy Crocker was a teenager, wasn't he? Wasn't Davy Crockett a teenager? I think so, huh? Yeah, Johnny Appleseed was a teenager, right? Oh, folks, this is so deep.
Don't forget King David. He's the King David of our time.
Yep. Come on in, Roger, then Larry.
Oh, wow, what a morning. Praise be to God. That's all I got to say.
Thanks, man. Shame on us, huh? Shame on all of us.
Amen.
Larry?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, in the state of Wisconsin, even if he is a mistrial with prejudice, which would keep it from being brought up again in most places, in Wisconsin, there is a procedure which goes around being with prejudice. And therefore, I'm hoping, and it would be great if the judge, who is, you know, he could have declared that mistrial yesterday, had plenty of reason to do it, yes. But he put it under advisement. I'm hoping that he wants to put it to the jury and let the jury get a not guilty because that ends.
Amen, Larry. Yeah, and then, Larry, even if there'll be an appeal, if they find him guilty, there'll be an appeal, and he'll win on several of those appeals. So, again, folks, just a second, Dale, I'll get right with you. Again, folks, we have to remember history. We don't remember our Christian history, see. We forget what Christians – it was Christians that came over on the boats – that fought the Indians, to secure this nation. Now, whether or not we can say, oh, they were, say whatever you want to about how it happened. It was Christians that did that, friends. It wasn't timid Christianity that founded the New World. I can promise you that. It was violent, aggressive, God-fearing. Well, truth is truth. It is what it is. Go ahead, Dale.
Brother, is not Kyle Rittenhouse. Remember, we've been saying, where is one that we may follow? This guy, I mean, God is turning something that was meant for evil. This young man could be an example for many young people of the next generation. Who was King David when he was just a little boy? He was a nothing. Kyle Rittenhouse's name is becoming known in many Christian homes that will be talked about, a great young man. Because it wasn't just about this case. He went down there. He went down there cleaning graffiti. He went down there as a first aid. His bulletproof vest, which was given to him by the police department, he gave it away to somebody else. He said, I don't need this. He had no intentions on using his gun.
If you haven't watched any of the trial, I don't even know what to tell you. See, listen, we have to, golly, what a lesson here for all of us. Self-defense. See, they don't want us to, they didn't want him to shoot till he was fired upon, folks. Now look, critical for you to understand. Roger's an attorney. Any other attorneys? Joe's an attorney. Attorneys, ask yourself this question. Is the job of the prosecutor to put people in jail or to get justice? And what we see going on here, clearly, this prosecutor doesn't want justice. He wants this guy in jail so he has a victory. That's what's going on here. Prosecutor's job, it's the justice system, justice department. The prosecutor should have stood up when that other guy said 2 days ago, 3 days ago, that Kyle didn't shoot him till the guy pointed the gun at him. The case was over. And an honest prosecutor would have said, Your Honor, we drop our case. It was clearly self-defense. But see, that's not the way the system is set up, is it? System set up to get you. Come on in, Debbie, then Rod.
Coach, I want to go back a second to your little grandson. And we want to know why people have no faith, why they can't seem to have faith in anything. And what you taught your little grandson was that he could have faith in what you said and that you would be standing there for him till he got to where he was going.
I'd never leave him. I'd never forsake him. I'd be right with him the whole time.
And had you done what some people might have done, and he got halfway and you saw he was going, you could have turned around and gone on. And in that very second, he would have turned around and said, to put the thumbs up. You weren't there.
I'd have missed it. That's right.
That's right. And it could have and probably would have affected his faith in many things for the rest of his life. And Amen. So why do we have no faith? How many times have we had that happen to us on this earth with people? Yeah. So people we can see. So it's very difficult for people who've been wronged by people we see. Trust me, I'll be here. I'll stand with you the whole distance. And they don't.
That's right.
So like the Bible says, how do you have faith in someone you can't see?
That's right.
So hey, good job.
Listen, I gave David my word, didn't I? I stayed with him to the end. And he turned around and gave me a thumbs up, said, I got it from here, Grampy. I got it from here. Come on in, Rod.
You know, for months.
Yeah. Yeah, that is
going on.
I'm sorry. Let's go. Let's go with Roger Weaver and Raj. I'm sorry, two Rods. I didn't make it clear. Go ahead.
Just quick. For years, months, the justice system, no regress, corrupt. We got problems. It's been on this program. And as a lawyer, sometimes you sit back and you're quiet, but this case is just wrong. That prosecutor should have never brought this case. Yeah. This is all about politics.
Yep.
And maybe my eyes have been open a little more about the justice system, looking at this case and what has taken place. But Dave and Q, as a lawyer who's practiced 32 years, I don't know of a prosecutor in Columbus, Ohio, who would have brought this case but for politics.
It's all politics. All politics. Raj Barnett. Thanks, Roger.
Yeah, very clearly. If you look at this case and Kyle's situation, it's the rules of engagement that have been used to tie all of us down. We've got rules of engagement that are holding us back at the border, whether it's the Border Patrol trying to do their job. It's all been rigged against us, whether it was in Afghanistan where troops, you know, they put ridiculous restraints on people that have a job to defend. And then what do we end up doing? We watch.
Because Roz, listen, we don't have the same goal. Kyle. See, we think we have the same goal, Roz. We don't have the same goal. We think the justice system is after justice. They're not. They're not.
No.
They're out to get you.
And in the case in Wisconsin, is that a Soros paid prosecutor? Was that guy funded by Soros? That would be my question. I wonder. Did we lose Dave?
The state attorney general in the state of Wisconsin was a Soros purchased agent. But I don't know about Kenosha County.
Okay, let's Joe Carrico, go ahead. Yeah. Mute yourself, please.
Yeah. I was just gonna basically endorse what Roger said, that this isn't a justice system anymore. This is a political apparatus most of the time. Occasionally, we've got an honest court, honest prosecutor, honest judge, but it's there's no integrity in this system anymore. It's what it's lacking. It's integrity. And if you don't have integrity, you shouldn't be close to justice system at all. You should be doing something else. You should probably be on the other end of the justice system, because you're going to be doing the wrong thing for the wrong reasons. We have a system where the end justifies the means, in their eyes, the end that they want to achieve, not a just end even.
That's right, Joe. I'm sorry I made a clicker. I lost my sound. I'm sorry. See, we have a justice system where the prosecution wants to win. They don't want justice.
Yeah, they have a just us system. They have their team that always wins. It's for just us.
That's their goal. That's right. We win. We win. That's it. Let's see. Brett, come in quickly. I'm trying to get. Sorry, I hit the wrong button over here. Lost all my sound.
No problem. Good morning, Coach. Good morning, team. Hey, I just was watching a debate over the last couple of days on YouTube, and it was team of four, two for God and two against God. One of the last questions that were asked was to the two that were against God, and they, of course, were atheists. What do you expect at the end of your life? And the answer basically was, we expect nothing. We live one time. We must do all we can during that lifetime. And, you know, they don't have to play by the rules.
No. No accountability, right?
They have no accountability. They can live as they want with no.
God loves them, Brett. Brett, God, come on, Brett. God loves them, Brett. Yeah. God loves everybody, Brett. Come on, man. Get with the times. Pastor of Pain, quickly.
Yeah, I was listening to program, and I've been watching this thing pretty close with Kyle, and somebody said something about it, David. That's what I was thinking of, the giant of Black Lives Matter and the Antifa. And really, the bottom line here is what they're trying to show is that we're going to do anything we want to do, and you better not stand up to us. And as I was watching that on the court the other day, why would not, if there was true justice, I mean, this, everything's asked backwards. The prosecutor should have said, we dismissed the case against Kyle. You're now under arrest for attempt. I mean,
right.
And the other question is, why was those good two guys that were killed and the guy that was shot sitting there on the bench, why were they there? I mean, we're asking really the wrong question. But the guy, I mean, I'm thinking somehow, is he up for charges or anything? Because he under oath said, I aimed my gun at him.
There has to be a crime there somewhere, doesn't there, Tom? Got to be a crime there somewhere. Hey, look, folks, this is Veterans Day. Let's turn our eyes on the real veterans, the ones who were sewn in half, right? Oh my goodness! Stand up for Jesus. We'll see. We'll see tomorrow.
Time to change the rules of engagement.